This is the Truth Network.
Are Mormons Christians? Do Christians and Mormons believe the same thing? They use the same language. They say they both believe in Jesus and faith and God and holy books. Well, we got a guy who knows a little bit about this, and I'm going to allow Russ East. I'm in Utah. We had an amazing banquet. I had to pull my phone out. When you talk to people that inspire you and encourage you, that love someone so much that they go and try to share the good news of Jesus with them, and you want to pull your microphone out and interview them. That's what I'm doing with this man of God, Russ East. You're in Utah with Utah Partnerships for Christ and also with the Truth Network, some amazing Christian radio stations across Utah. Yeah. And you've been here 25 years reaching Utah for Christ, and God has brought you across the path of this saint. Who is he?
Right. Well, in 2008, when Truth Broadcasting came to Utah, Bill and Mormonism Research Ministry came from Southern California to Utah. And what year was that, Bill?
2004.
In 2004. Okay. So I had heard all about Mormonism Research Ministry a little bit, you know, and I'm like, I got to talk to these guys. So I got them a Mexican dinner, and we talked over some tacos, and we just put it out there. We prayed about it, and the Lord has done great things through this program. And it's just really, really super. And I love these guys. So, Bill,
what's the program called?
Mormonism. It's called Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Okay, what time is it on the radio?
9:45 in the morning and 9:45 at night, Monday through Friday. Amen. So we want to do all we can to support this ministry. Okay. Bill's going to tell you all about it.
Okay, Bill McKeever.
Correct.
And what an honor to talk to you. I've read your books. I've heard your program. I've heard you. You've been gracious, and you are. You love the Mormon people, right?
Absolutely.
Tell
Absolutely.
Us about how all this came about. What's your story?
Well, my story really starts when it comes to the subject of Mormonism. It goes back 40 years. I've been doing this for four decades, just basically studying the teachings, the doctrine, and the history of the LDS movement, mainly because I grew up in Southern California, had a lot of Mormon friends. They never tried to convert me until I became a Christian. Then all of a sudden, now they want to get me to join their church. And so as a result of those conversations with those friends, I just kept studying it, and I've never been bored with the subject in all these years.
Yeah, and I want to point out a word here early on in this conversation, friends. Stu Epperson here with Bill McKeever, who's a man of God. He's written books prolifically on evangelizing folks, but he says Mormon friends. I mean, I think that's really where evangelism starts, you know, mm-hmm. at friendship. We have this idea that you have to hate people you disagree with. But, Bill, you know, if you're gonna win someone over to Christ, beating them over the head with your King James Bible may not be the best way. It doesn't mean you don't use the word, but maybe not that way, huh?
Right. Well, one of the tactics that we often emphasize is always asking questions. Never assume that the Mormon really believes anything, even if they're supposed to believe that. So what we try to do is encourage people just to simply ask questions to find out where the Mormon is theologically, because you might be surprised at how many Latter-day Saints really don't believe a lot of the really strange teachings of Mormonism that separate it from Christianity.
Wow. And so one of those young men was here tonight and performed. Did you hear him perform the scripture?
I did. That was great.
Tell everyone who this guy is, Matt. I mean, there's a whole family here.
Matt Wilder. I mean, the Wilder family is notorious, right?
Well, notorious in a good way, of course, right?
You know, we're, you know, in a good way.
They're not like a crime family or anything, but yeah. But Bill, you see a young man like him, mm-hmm. and you think, you know, here, you know, we're getting older up there, right? This guy's coming up strong. This guy quoted like half the Book of John tonight to music.
It was amazing. It really was.
Matt, it wasn't always like that for your family, just quoting scripture and telling people about the grace of God. There was a transformation that happened. I believe your mom and some other folks in your family. Well, tell us about that real quick, and then we're going to come back to Bill with the number one or two, three question you ask your Mormon friends mm-hmm. to get into this. But tell us what happened to you guys.
Yeah, so I was raised in the Mormon church. My younger brother, Mike, has served a Mormon mission in Florida and tried to convert a Christian pastor to Mormonism, and was challenged by that man to read the Bible as a child, and was also given an earful of the gospel. And so my younger brother took this challenge, thinking he could validate Mormonism through reading the New Testament. God opened his eyes. He ended up getting saved, became born again, and made a public profession of his newfound biblical Christian faith in Jesus and the biblical gospel in front of a bunch of Mormon missionaries. Got sent home off his mission, and this caused a kind of domino effect. And so he shared the gospel with my family, with my parents, with myself, and gave us the same challenge to read the Bible as a child. And that's how it started for me.
No kidding. Now, this was your brother.
Yeah, my younger brother, Micah. Yeah, he was the first one. And then And then we all kind of started to fall like dominoes, and our entire family ended up coming out of Mormonism and coming into Christ. So
it's unbelievable. And somewhere in there you found a Christian radio station, I think, AM 820 maybe.
Yeah, so I connected with Russ actually early on in our ministry. We connected with Russ and have just been so impacted and blessed through that ministry, and have been partnered with him for about a decade now. And we are 100% on board with Utah Partnerships for Christ and the radio outreach, and just want to see God continue to use that to grow his body.
Awesome. Well, I want to come back to you more on your family, but we got to talk to Bill here now related. And by the way, there's some background noise because there's some people in some really rich fellowship. We had a big dessert function. I'm in Utah. What town are we in, Bill?
Actually, this is West Jordan.
West Jordan, Utah. So we're on the near the banks of the Jordan River. We could be in Israel with the cool names of these places out here.
Jordan River here. Yeah.
Unbelievable. So
and it also flows into a salt water bottle.
Yeah, but you, upside down.
But you hear about a young man, a whole family, I mean, you know, devotees of the Mormon religion, mm-hmm. LDS all the way through. You hear a story of his brother Micah converts to Christ, and then he converts to Christ, and his mom and all of them. You know, what resounds in your heart, and what kind of comment would you make about that?
Well, it's amazing. Let's just be serious. I mean, sadly, a lot of people who realize that Mormonism is not true end up going off into agnosticism or atheism. It's not that they don't totally, in some cases, give up any belief in God, but at that time we have to ask the question, what God are they still believing in? If it's the God of Mormonism, who has a body of flesh and bones, who became God at a particular point in time, that certainly can't be the God of the Bible. So it's important that when we talk to Latter-day Saints, that we do, at some point in the conversation, get them to figure out who is the God of the Bible, who is Jesus, who is the Jesus of the New Testament. Because even though, as you said, they have a Jesus in their theology, Mormon leaders themselves have said that this is a different Jesus than what they would assume the other Christians, quote-unquote, in their opinion, are believing in.
And it's important to let your Mormon friends know that you don't hate them, right? It's not, you're not attacking them. You're talking about the truth. There are soldiers at stake here. You actually, the opposite. You love them by doing that, right? Is that how you felt from your brother?
Yeah, and amen. It was a heart of compassion towards the lost. And it's just, that's how Jesus calls us to reach out to others in truth and in love and with gentleness. And we want to show them the truth, but we don't want to do it in arrogance, and we don't want to do it harshly. The Word of God is living and active. It's going to pierce people. It's going to offend people. It's going to make people angry. But we don't want to add to that by just being jerks. We're going to let the Word of God do that itself.
Well, and Matt, your family plays music. You serve, you minister to big crowds all over the country. You create Adams. What is it called? Adams?
Adam's Road, which is actually just a reference to the biblical Adam. The first man, Adam, brought sin and death into the world, and the last Adam, Jesus Christ, brings life and justification.
Unreal. And the Mormon Adam actually fell into sin, but fell upward, right, Bill? I don't know how they got that backwards, but that's one of the many things that you're trying to correct mm-hmm. with your LDS friends to bring them to the Lord, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. An important question that you want to ask the Latter-day Saint is very simply, if they were to die right now, do they have the assurance that all their sins are forgiven and that they would get the best their religion has to offer? Of course, in Mormonism, in that context, the best their religion has to offer is what they would call exaltation or godhood. In order to receive that, they need to be forgiven of their sins. The problem is the Mormon Church has so many things for its people to do that Latter-day Saints can't really know if they've done everything that's necessary in order to achieve that exaltation. So if they are still in their sins, even the Book of Mormon condemns them. And so that is the real soft spot that we can use to try to evangelize them, to get them to see that we can, because of what Christ has done for us on the cross at Calvary, we can have that assurance that our sins are forgiven.
Now, Matt, you seem to be resonating with what
he said. I just wanted to second Bill's approach to ministering to Mormons and his evangelism. It's incredible. The Lord's gifted their ministry with an incredible approach, and I 100% support it, because coming out of Mormonism, that's exactly what I was dealing with. And how he approaches that is that if he would have approached me on the street, that would have been what I would have needed to have heard as a Mormon, because I was trying to do more and more in order to earn God's forgiveness, essentially, and never knew whether I had done enough, and so I never had an assurance. And so it wasn't until I read in God's Word about how I can have an assurance through the blood of Christ and his work on my behalf that I received that free gift of eternal life.
Okay, so now that's the voice of Matt Wilder, who's a part of this Adams Road band, this whole ministry, his whole family. You're going to learn a little bit more about him that you want to hear about. You've got to hang around. And Bill McGeever is going to – both of you guys are going to help us get out of the Bible ping-pong argument. You know, the trading blows with your Mormon friends, with missionaries. How do you avoid trading jabs? How do you actually lead a Mormon to Christ? Are Mormons Christian? When we come back, don't touch that dial or don't touch whatever – however you're listening to us. We'll have more. This is a podcast. This is a audio. We'll do a little video after, you know, we do the interview so folks can get a visual. But stay tuned, and we're going to learn more about what God's doing also in Utah and around the world through these men. I want to say a special thank you to a wonderful partner helping us advance the message of this program, of the gospel. And the thank you goes out to MyPillow.com. Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, has now opened his heart to say thank you as well. He wants to give you the opportunity to do what I've done. I've slept on this pillow. I love MyPillow. I sleep better. What would you give for a good night's sleep? Right now, for the first time, you can get deep discounts on all the MyPillow products. I'm talking about the MyPillows, the mattress toppers, the bed sheets, and the body pillows. All their products right now, all you got to do is go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials. MyPillow.com, click on the new radio listener specials, and you'll save big. You won't believe the savings. Just enter promo code TRUTH when you get there. All these products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You can also call this toll-free number, 800-944-5396. Thank you, MyPillow, for partnering with us to advance the good news of the gospel. And thank you to all you guys that have checked them out and supported our sponsors. Who's ever played Bible ping pong with someone of another belief system? The Mormon missionaries, they come to your door. They're young. They've got the name badges. And they're nice young men. They're polite. And after the door, sir, ma'am, we'd like to tell you about another revelation. And Bill McGeever, you've got a ministry in Utah and all over the world. Your radio program's expanding. And Matt Wilder, you've got a ministry through music and through quoting scripture. Man, I'm just buoyed up and encouraged here. The noise in the background, we're in this big conference room here, and we had a bunch of folks in here hearing some cool testimonies and hearing you perform, hearing a great message to celebrate what God's doing in Utah. And I'm here right in the middle of it. I love it. And I had to pull my recording device out and interview you guys. So, Bill, how do you avoid Bible ping pong, man?
Well, I'm not totally against bringing up Bible verses because certainly it's the Word of God that's going to change the heart. I like to bring up verses that I know a Mormon should respect. And one of the ways I've learned that is by going to what's known as the Joseph Smith translation. Okay. Many Mormons are probably not even aware that it exists. Wow. But one thing that we do know is that Joseph Smith claimed, he's the founder of Mormonism, he claimed that he came up with his own Bible version, finished it in 1833. Oh. But there's a lot of verses that he left intact that are the same as in all our other Bibles. And so if that's the way they are in the Joseph Smith translation, then a Mormon should respect those verses. Wow. So the Isaiah passages that speak of the fact that there's only one God, Ephesians 2:8-9, you have Titus 3:5, all those verses are the same.
So when Isaiah says, when God says, I am God and there is no other, you ask the Mormons, well, how did Joseph Smith come up with another God, a whole polytheistic approach to God, and yet God says he's a one God, he's theistic and he's monotheistic.
And that's a great question. If God doesn't know of any other God, and a Mormon thinks that they're eventually going to become a God, a question I like to ask him in light of that passage is, well, will this God know you? Because he says he won't.
Wow. Interesting. So have you found that, too, to try to, you know, bridge? You know, it's interesting that we talk about bridging. My neighbor plays tennis. I might take up tennis to reach my neighbor for Christ. You know, Paul said, I'm all things to all men. And yet believers, sometimes they talk down to Mormons or they slam the door in their face or they're rude, you know. But there's a way to lovingly say, hey, you know what? One thing is to say, I'm not here to bring a spirit of contention, because you're not, right, Matt? Mm-hmm.
We're not. And that's one thing that LDS people can be sensitive to, because in the Book of Mormon, it teaches that contention is of the devil. And of course, as Christians, we're called to contend for the faith that was once, to contend for the faith that was once in for all delivered to us, or to, I don't know, I'm mixing it back.
Contend without being contentious, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so basically, I've noticed that with my personal experience with Mormon missionaries or with people who are LDS, I've noticed it's best to start by asking a lot of questions to get them to think and then allow them to respond, and then to use their responses to engage them and then eventually get into God's word. But I like to approach it with using a lot of questions and just being respectful and giving them a platform to share their beliefs, because I think when you respect them in that way, it opens the door to be able to do the same.
What Matt says is absolutely essential, because one of the problems that many Christians make, or one of the mistakes that they make, is they assume that the Latter-day Saint believes certain things. So asking the question is always going to be positive. It's the least offensive way of carrying on a communication.
So
with
when I was
really
in the
anybody. When
I was in the big giant 21,000 seat auditorium on Tibble Square, and I asked our tour guide, who was clearly trying to tell us this is the only belief and all this, I asked him. I said, "Where are all the crosses?" Mm-hmm. Was that a good question, maybe to get him to get stir up things? If the Apostle Paul said, "I'll boast only in the cross of Christ," they got one cross. None of these Muslim temple stakes or wards, thousands of them across Utah, don't have one cross around.
Yeah, that question was actually asked of their 15th president, Gordon B. Hinckley, someone that he was giving a tour of one of their temples, asked that very question of him. And his answer was really revealing. He said, basically, we don't want to think about a dying Christ. We want to think about a living Christ. Yeah. The problem with that answer is it's really inconsistent, even in the context of Mormonism, because Mormons partake of what they call the sacrament service or the communion every week. Well, what do you think that's about? Obviously, it's about a dying Christ.
It's not about him in Gethsemane. They're trying to say he died, he paid for our sins in Gethsemane, but he didn't say it is finished in Gethsemane.
There was not a death in Gethsemane. It had to be on the cross. In fact, the Book of Mormon actually teaches that. This idea of a Gethsemane atonement is actually something that came about later on, even after the death of Joseph Smith. That's something that's a little more new when you think about it. But I think they missed the point. Just because you have Gordon Hinckley saying, well, we want to think of a living Christ, not a dying Christ. Was he really implying that that's all we think of is a dead Christ? Because obviously that's not true. We certainly do see the risen Christ, the resurrected Christ, who paid for our sins on the cross.
I'm Stu Epperson, and I'm in the middle of Utah. And in Utah, it's the world headquarters for the Mormon Church, also known as the LDS, or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm with two men who know this belief really well. One, your whole family came out of Mormonism, the Wilder family, and now God's using you through your music and your messages, you know, to share the good news of Jesus. And then another man has a radio program. His name is Bill McKeever. He's standing with me right here. And just like Matt, Bill has a heart for Mormons. And you have a radio. You've been doing this for 40 years. You have a radio program. He's really one of the big granddaddies of this ministry to reach Mormons. And a lot of Mormons have come to faith in Christ through you guys and through Bill. What's the name of your program and like a website about you, Bill, for those that want to get to know you better?
Yeah, our program is Viewpoint on Mormonism. But if they want to get more information about what we're doing, it's mrm.org, mormonismresearchministry.org.
Yeah. And you get calls from the radio show from people that are curious,
we
right?
We do. I get a lot of email, too.
Wow.
And a lot of phone calls. And I do try to call them back and carry on conversations. Just had that happen just the other day.
Yeah. How important does that tell you how radio is? People might hear you and might hear you. And maybe they won't go to your church, you know, maybe they're not ready for that, or maybe it's like intimidating, but they'll listen to the radio and maybe come to Christ, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we got to get the word of God out there, and however we can get it out there. And just go back to the idea of the cross and the message of the cross and how that's kind of offensive, or that's hard thing. When I was LDS, like, I didn't like that symbol, but coming to know Jesus now, I've learned that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And I think the cross just, it represents the good news of Jesus Christ, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And so we're saved by grace through faith. This is not our own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And so the cross represents all of those things. And as a Mormon, I was opposed to that. What Jesus did on the cross was not enough to bring me into right standing with God. And so I think now I glory in the cross, and I boast in the cross.
Well, I got 30 seconds left. What you said, that question, are you for certain that all of your sins are forgiven and you're ready to enter heaven? That's a powerful question.
Well, I would be more specific. Rather than using the word heaven, I would say, do you have the assurance that you're going to get the best your religion has for you? Because to a Mormon, they know exactly what that means. Okay. Because there's three levels of heaven.
Eternal life. Eternal life to them is exaltation. So
eternal life. Okay. And so your final thought to everyone out there, and I'm going to make this very important note. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, I don't care if you're Mormon. I don't care if you're Baptist. You need the gospel. Let me tell you who needs the gospel. I need the gospel. And thank God he saved a wretch like me. And thank God for his forgiveness. So this is, we're not just isolating one group of folks, but God's put them on your heart. Quick final word out there to someone out there who's searching. What would you say to them quickly, Matt, as we wrap up? Then Bill, you're going to close us.
When you hear the gospel and believe it, it sets us free. It sets us free from sin. It sets us free from false religious systems. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And we should be sanctified in God's word and just hold to the truth. And if we read the Bible as a child and put our trust in God's word and in that message of salvation through the cross, then we'll find life.
Bill, take us home.
I think, and also, don't think that the Mormon is not listening to you. You never know how many questions this Latter-day Saint that you're talking to may have in their own heart that they might not even share with you at the time. You never know. So don't be intimidated and be bold.
Thank you both for this ministry. I'm going to take a little picture with you right now, and we're going to put it on my Instagram and all my social media. And so our listeners can meet you and look what you look like and pray for you, because you're doing an awesome work. And this is about the gospel, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That God would become man and die for a wretch like me. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, wouldst die for me? And thank you guys for proclaiming it faithfully like this in Utah. Awesome.